Hello and welcome to the call. My name is Nina Wallander, and we are together here on layersofhealth.com. Our mentors today are Franz and Bronwyn Stina, and they will be guiding us in our understanding of the system of Reiki. Franz, Bronwyn, welcome to the call.
Thank you, Nina. Great to invite us.
That's great.
Hi, Nina.
Hello. I'd like to introduce you a little bit further to the listeners so they have a little bit of background. Reiki teachers Franz and Bronwyn Stina are authors of the internationally acclaimed Reiki Source Book and the Japanese Art of Reiki, and they're the founders of the International House of Reiki. They travel the world educating and promoting self-healing and inner spiritual work. With over 20 years of combined experience as practitioners, teachers, and speakers in healing and spirituality, they have worked with, taught, and researched healing in the United States, Europe, Asia, Australia, and Japan. They are teachers whose passion is truth, education, support, and spiritual development for all. And I am so grateful that you are here with us on Layers of Health today, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, part of the reason why I approached you was because of how Reiki has really, well, I was going to say influenced, but I would have to say more guided your life. Maybe we can start with how it is that you came to be doing what you're doing.
Well, Nina, when I was about 16, I had a lot of lower back problems, and that started to develop even further in my 20s. And the doctors would just say, oh, Franz, get used to it. We can't do anything for it. Just take painkillers and have physiotherapy, et cetera. And one day, Bronwyn and I, I'm actually originally from Holland, and Bronwyn from Australia. We lived in Holland, and we kind of had enough of our life in Holland and wanted to travel. So we moved to Asia, and we went to India. And when we arrived in India, I had a lot of lower back problems. And I thought one day, gosh, this is just, you know, crazy. I need to do something for myself. And Bronwyn has been much more into the natural therapies and spirituality long before I was. So we kind of started that journey together. And I started to buy some books, and then Bronwyn started to buy books on different modalities. And because we lived in India at that time, it was Ayurveda, Hinduism, Buddhism, and we found a book on the system of Reiki. So I remember sitting in this little guest house somewhere in India doing this hands-on healing on myself. And so we were discussing to maybe do a Reiki course when we found a teacher. And one day we were in Nepal, Kathmandu, and we saw a notice for Reiki classes. So that's where we kind of did our first Reiki workshop, and we really liked it. It really resonated with us. And so we started off kind of our journey in Nepal, Kathmandu, and what was intriguing was that there was some very clear kind of signs what put us into direction of teaching. And after being for some months in India or in Kathmandu, we moved back to India to a place called Darjeeling. And in that time, we had done our Reiki 1, Reiki 2, and a Reiki 3 class. And we kind of set up a Reiki center in Darjeeling, India, to do volunteer treatments on the local community. It was, a kind of a journey for ourselves as well, for me personally, to heal my back, but also our relationship. And then when we were delving deeper into it, we realized that we could also do this energy work with other people. And that's why we started to do a lot of volunteer work in the local community in Darjeeling, and we went out to the tea plantations to do hands-on healing on the people who work in the tea plantations and the villages.
We also taught the people there how they could help each other, and that was a wonderful process because they were very excited that there was something that they could take into their own hands and help each other with rather than having to either go without medical help because there really wasn't any medical help in that area, or it was very expensive for them. So it supported them, not as a replacement for medical help, but definitely as something that helped them through difficult times. For example, I remember one man, his son had had polio as a boy, as a young boy, and he had a lot of difficulties. I mean, polio is something we don't have to deal with in our society really anymore. So it was interesting. He was thrilled to be able to have something that he could connect to his son with, and that his son could enjoy experiencing with him. And, you know, that was fulfilling for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were had an interest in, Franz had mentioned, the natural healing. And had you heard of Reiki prior to this, or had you just sort of followed your nose with the other learning that you'd done?
I had heard of Reiki, yeah. Yeah, actually, a really good friend of mine had done it years beforehand, and she'd said to me, oh, you know, you should really learn Reiki. And it, it's so funny how things come to you at different times in your life, isn't it? You know, so at that point, even though I was interested in perhaps living in a way that might be more connected, I hadn't really thought about taking something up like Reiki. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I really, really felt the need to that I had to find something that I could do that would help me but also help us. So it sort of had a double meaning to it, I guess. And that was what made it really perfect at the time. And I think that a lot of people find that when they're looking for something, often people will come to us who are looking for a course because they want to help a friend. You know, maybe their parents are sick, or a child is sick, or their partner, or just a family member. So they're looking for something that will help them, and yet on that path they actually find something that will also help themselves. So it's learning practices that will help everyone, and that's quite unique. You know, I think, you know, if you're interested in yoga, for example, ultimately, you probably are helping other people because you're first helping yourself. And, you know, that's also how we see it with the system of Reiki. Mm-hmm. But there's also a very obvious element to the system of Reiki, which is the hands-on healing, which we can do with other people as well. So, you know, that is an added benefit, definitely.
Well, I wouldn't mind backing up the boat here a little bit with maybe let's start with what is Reiki? What is the system of Reiki?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question, Nina. Reiki itself, the word means spiritual energy. And it's something what is within everything, really. But most of the time, we don't really utilize it to its full benefit. I always see it as a beautiful bright light. And imagine that we all have this beautiful bright light in us. But then when we grow up in our society, we cover this light up by different layers of worry or fear or anxiety or attachments. And suddenly, this light is covered and we can't see it anymore. The light itself is still burning, nice and bright, but we can't really connect to it anymore because of all these layers. So then we can practice the system of Reiki, and the system of Reiki consists of five specific elements. And these elements are precepts, meditations, hands-on healing, symbols and mantras, and the attunement. And by working with these five elements, we're peeling away these layers what we have put over this bright light. And then, of course, the more we work with these five elements, the more we peel away these layers, the more we connect to this beautiful bright light again. And of course, we can imagine that when this light starts to shine out more and more and more, because we're peeling away these layers, then that has a huge potential for self-healing, but also this light can then be used for helping others to find their own inner light again.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating, actually, because when I was reading your the Japanese Art of Reiki, and what I noticed, too, that both of you have actually mentioned self-care. How important is this to the system of Reiki and just, I guess, to people in their lives?
Well, I see it very much like, unfortunately, nowadays, you know, I think a lot of people like to help other people. They see a lot of suffering in our society. And so as Bronwyn said before, you know, they want to do maybe some hands-on healing on other people. But then when they come and do a course, they start to realize that, oh, hey, I myself also have certain issues, attachments, worries, fear, anger. Maybe I should kind of deal with that first before I help other people. In another way, I always describe it like this. Say we have a garden hose, and the garden hose has lots of knots and bends in it. Now, what happens if I open up the tap? There's only a little bit of water coming out because it's obstructed by the knots and bends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So if we say that the water is the beautiful light, the Reiki, the spiritual energy, and the garden hose is me, and the knots and bends is my worries, my fear, my anger. So if I want to help someone and I still have all these issues, then of course I only work with a very basic amount of energy. Of course, there's still always energy involved, and we all know that already. But I can really deepen that much more so. So then if I undo those knots and bends by practicing these five elements of the system of Reiki, and then the hose becomes nice and clear, now I open up the tap, of course, much more water comes out. So for me, I see it really essential that the system of Reiki is really about self-practice. And then the side effect of this self-practice is that you can help other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example, Nina. It's a really easy example.
Mm-hmm.
Say, as a practitioner, I haven't really dealt with my own fear and insecurities. And we all have those things, of course. And I'm going mm-hmm. to do a treatment on someone. And suddenly something happens during the treatment, maybe. Sometimes what happens during a Reiki session or a hands-on healing session is that the person starts to shake a little bit. And say I have never experienced that before, and suddenly a lot of fear and worry comes up. It's my own fear and worry. But if I've dealt with my own fear and worry, then I can keep proceeding with the treatment in a much more calmer way than if I haven't dealt with my fear and worry. So if I haven't dealt with my fear and worry and certain circumstances arise, then I might get scared. I might even stop the treatment. Or maybe afterwards I might not even feel of doing a treatment anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have dealt with my issues, then I know it's just part of a clearing or of a healing, then nothing really is in the way of that healing to take place.
Mm-hmm. And our worries can really influence every area of our life too. You know, it's, I'm curious as to what the shaking might represent in a healing.
Well, it's, again, maybe I used the imagery of the garden hose again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we have a garden hose and it lays on a flat surface and no water goes through it, the garden hose is very stationary, it doesn't move.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if I suddenly open up the tap really full? What happens to the garden hose? The garden hose starts to move because it moves with the flow and the current of the water. And it's a very similar thing. So a person lays down on a table and the practitioner places his or her hand on or off the body of the client with the intent that the person receives whatever they need. And some people are really open and suddenly they take in all this energy and stimulate it within their body. So that energy is moving like that through the garden hose, and it triggers certain movements in the fingers or in the arms or in the toes or in the legs or really anywhere in the body.
Mm-hmm. And what would a typical session look like? How does it start?
Well, what would happen is that a client will come to a treatment, and the practitioner will discuss with the client what Reiki is so that the person has some idea of what's going to happen throughout the treatment. And then the client will be often asked to fill in a form in order to say that the treatment is not in place of a medical treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And the practitioner may ask about some history of the client, but in reality, with the system of Reiki, even though we are the practitioner, we are not actually manipulating the energy or trying to make anything specific happen. And therefore, in many ways, we don't need to know a great deal. It's not like having to go for acupuncture or, you know, there's a lot of other therapies where you will actually, you know, the practitioner will need to know quite a lot of your history. What happens is that the client will then generally lie down on a table, and depending on what you've discussed with the practitioner will do specific hand positions on or off the body. So that means that the practitioner will place his or her hands directly onto the body or just off. And neither, it doesn't really matter, because this is an energetic practice, so mm-hmm. it's really about energy rather than the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And the practitioner has the intention that he or she is open to allow whatever healing that is required to happen, and asks the same of the client. So the client is to think to themselves that, you know, I'm open to receive whatever it is that I may need at this exact moment in time. And with that open attitude, so it's not an attitude that says, I've got a bad leg, heal my bad leg.
Mm.
With this open attitude, we're really allowing the natural flow of it to move how it needs to move and where it needs to move. So it's moving through the practitioner into the client. The client is drawing on that energy and taking it where he or she needs that energy to go. So it's not a rational thing. If we limit it to a rational idea of the example of the bad leg, if we're all thinking about that bad leg and trying to work specifically with that bad leg, we're working in a very one-dimensional way, and we're not allowing for the concept of interconnection, that all different parts of us work together at the same time, some being physical, some being emotional, some being energetic, spiritual. So really allowing all these elements to just work together, and whatever is required is taken at that time, rather than us being specific and directing it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really important point, because what I've heard, the words that I heard are like natural and interconnection, and it seems to me that your approach would be of a whole person, not just of their presenting problem. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's correct. And the way that we see it is, you know, what is a problem? Is a problem on its own, or is that problem related to other things that have happened to that person in the past? You know, we don't know. And instead of us trying to psychoanalyze that, we really allow the body to energetically draw on that energy and take it where it needs it, move through those knots in the garden hose, and allow that energy to flow freer.
That's also a really critical point, too. I love the way that you phrase that, and that the body will draw energy, because especially if you don't really know what to expect, then I think that some people may have a fear that the practitioner is going to zap them or something, you know.
Yes, the opposite of that. That's right. And it is really about that openness. And, you know, I mentioned at the beginning about the treatment, about that being open and really saying to yourself, you know, I'm open to receive whatever it is that I may need. And in that, there is a great deal of safety because we take what we need. And we're not really trying to force anything to happen.
Mm-hmm. I think that too, let's look at it from the practitioner side of things, because my history is as a massage therapist and an energy practitioner as well, but there seem to be questions for practitioners around, should you become exhausted doing a treatment, or, you know, so what is the effect for Reiki on the practitioner?
Well, Nina, for a practitioner who has a regular self-practice, and with self-practice I mean doing the meditations, contemplating the precepts, all of working with all these elements, hopefully that brings the practitioner in a state of openness, non-judgmental, a clear, open space. And then when the practitioner places his or her hand on the person without saying, this needs to happen or that needs to happen, but as Broman said, in a really open space that the person might receive whatever they need, then on a very, very deep level, the practitioner starts to realize that the client's energy is nothing different. So what means is, normally we see all these things very separate. So I might say, there's my client, I'm the practitioner, and I am doing this. So that is very disconnected in a way. It's very separate. But the more a practitioner goes deeper within him or herself and finds this inner light, this Reiki, this spiritual energy, the more he or she starts to realize that the Reiki is nothing separate, that the client is nothing separate, that he or her himself is nothing separate. And then in that space, the giver becomes also the receiver, and the receiver also becomes the giver.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens then is that a practitioner can do 10 treatments a day and actually walks away and feels very empowered because he or she hasn't given anything. So it's he or she has performed the session, but not with the intent, oh, I'm giving you something, but really in this open sense, connecting to the universe. So in other words, we can say that the spiritual energy, the Reiki, is like the universe, and the universe has no boundaries. There's no beginning, no end. It's part of everything. And this is something I think as a Reiki practitioner or teacher, we need to realize that everything is interconnected and everything is universal energy.
I have had questions posed to me in that, can somebody be over-Reikied, or, you know, are there any contraindications to receiving a Reiki healing through the system of Reiki?
I mean, if we see it as like a hands-on healing, not really. Of course, a person might have certain emotional, physical, or spiritual reactions. What is very common, I see it as when we sweep a floor, a wooden floor with dust on it, and we sweep it, we get dust clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same kind of thing, you know, when you start to, as a client, and you start to work with that energy within your body, you might stir up some old emotions or feelings, some of these layers we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And when we shed those layers, they might come temporarily to the forefront. Some people might, say, oh, that is very negative. But I always say, well, it's better out now than in 10 years' time, because the longer we hold it in our system, the harder it is to release it. Self-practice is something very different. If we apply it on ourselves, it's like going to the gym. You know, if you start to lift suddenly 25 kilo and you haven't been used to that, you get muscle pain, you know.
Yes.
You can't move your arms the next day. So it's exactly the same thing, and that's why there's different levels within the system of Reiki to help you to go through that process of spiritual rediscovery within yourself in a very gentle way.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. This is very powerful, and at the same time, I think that some people may be intimidated by some of these thoughts. And for example, I've had people say to me, "Well, I could never do that." Who can do Reiki?
Well, I mean, because Reiki means spiritual energy, and it's that beautiful inner light within each person, within each being, within everything. It's that universal energy, everything. So in reality, everybody can practice the system of Reiki for him or herself. Becoming a practitioner is a little bit different. It's like, playing tennis, for example, or a music instrument. Everybody can pick up a music instrument. Some people, some people...
Sorry, if I did, it wouldn't sound very good. That's not my gift.
Well, that's right. So some people just want to play the music instrument, even if it doesn't sound very good, in their own private home, make a lot of noise and think, wow, this is great. Some other people want to actually go and stand on the street and do some busking, while some other people want to actually go and be on stage and perform. So for me, it's exactly the same. We get a lot of students through the International House of Reiki who just want to practice the system of Reiki for pure self-development. And, of course, we need to realize that healing other people come in many forms, but I come back to that in a second. So some people really want to utilize it solely for a spiritual practice, and the system of Reiki really provides for that. And then some people really want to utilize it beside that also for hands-on healing on other people. And then some other people really want to teach other people how to do hands-on healing on themselves, or how to walk that spiritual journey. So there is many possibilities within the system of Reiki. But as I say, healing other people come in many forms. So for example, if I practice the system of Reiki for myself and I do the meditations, I do the hands-on healing, I contemplate the precepts. And for example, one of the precepts is do not anger. So I get less angry, hopefully, with lots of practice, and I maybe worry less. Of course, that is going to have an effect on my immediate society. I don't need necessarily to do hands-on healing on someone. If I'm already kinder to people, my family, the shopkeeper, anyone I come in contact with, then that is also healing the community, except not with hands-on healing, but with my attitude.
I also think, Nina, about saying that it can be intimidating, you know, what you mentioned before, that that is something that we have, you know, I've heard more often, and I can understand that. I think what happens, there's a wonderful thing within the system of Reiki when you study it. When you actually do a course, there's something called an attunement. And the attunement is a connection between the teacher and the student. And in Japanese, it's called reiju, and the translation for that is blessing. When we experience that, we have this connection that reminds us that we are that beautiful, bright spark of light. We actually, you know, if you speak to a lot of people, they will have, in their own way, sensed that. And that is such an encouragement. And it reminds us who we truly are, and we go deep into that, and it is something that encourages us to work on ourselves, to refind that beautiful light within us, and to have it there more present, more often. So I think that that's probably part of that whole part of the trick, is that, you know, when we sense that, it's what helps us to remember who we are. So it's an encouragement.
It seems like anybody can do it, because essentially we are that. And so we have the Reiki energy within us already, and yet to put the structure of the system of Reiki as a practice, there are levels that you can engage at personally, just if I'm paraphrasing correctly here. So you can do it as your personal practice. You can use it to treat others, and you can use it to teach. So you can, it sounds like you can almost just fit it in to what's perfect for you, rather than, I think maybe part of the intimidation can come from an expectation that you will have to suddenly start a practice and you know, pass it on, that there's some requirement that way, but that's not what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, that's right. We have a lot of students, for example, who come to do our Shimpiden class, and Shimpiden in Japanese means the mystery teachings, and it's a Reiki 3 teacher class. And the most interesting thing is that a lot of people come and do it for their own spiritual development, mm-hmm. because within the system of Reiki, and I think the founder of the system of Reiki had structured it in such a unique way that we can say there is, on one end, there is hands-on healing. On the other end, there is the spiritual journey or a spiritual practice, mm-hmm. and everything in between. So it really would depend on the student what he or she feels comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get students who just want to do it for a spiritual development. And there's actually a gentleman in Europe who's been doing that for a long time now, just for his own spiritual development. And only recently he says, Franz, I think I want to share it with people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it really comes from the person, him or herself, when they feel ready. And, of course, they can share it, again, in many different ways. Just being kind to people is already sharing, mm-hmm. but we can share it with the hands-on healing. Or we can share it with maybe saying to a person, oh, actually, I've got some nice precepts here to work with. Mm-hmm. Maybe the person feels a lot of anger. And so that person might teach the person the precepts, or the person might teach that person a simple meditation to do for him or herself. So there's many levels of teaching. Mm-hmm. It can be a friend, or it can be a workshop with 25 people.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching comes in many different layers, and I think that is something we also need to realize as a Reiki practitioner, that there's many layers of teaching. And I think just sharing, even just talking to you, I learn from you, hopefully you learn something from me. And mm-hmm. for me, that is also teaching and sharing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It also means, yeah, it also means that I think that maybe you were also meaning that if people feel that they have to change their lives completely to do something like this,
mm-hmm.
which isn't actually the case. One, because it's a remembering who we are, so it's something who we are already, but even more than that, you know, if someone is a smoker or a drinker or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. And it really is up to the person to make the choices for their own life in the time that they need to do that. And the system of Reiki, if they practice it, will support them in any of the choices that they make. So, you know, it's not going, someone who does a Reiki course doesn't have to stop smoking, for example. It's something they might feel like, oh, it might be good to stop smoking, and maybe it'll help them to stop smoking if they want to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll bring them to a point at some time in the future where they feel like it might be a good idea where they hadn't previously. But there's certainly no guarantee on that, and it really is up to each individual.
Well, it sounds very allowing and very gentle and very non-judgmental too, which is, you know, that I think that's often the support that people are looking for. Now, actually, you, Franz, you'd mentioned the founder of Reiki, and you'd also mentioned the Shinpidin level. Maybe you could, or Bronwyn, go into a little bit more about the founder and what the what is the system of Reiki from that angle.
Yeah, the founder of the system of Reiki is a gentleman called Miko Usui, and he lived in the late 1800s in Japan. And what was very intriguing by doing a lot of research, that we can see that he had his own very strict spiritual practice. And what was very common at that time for a lot of Japanese people who were practicing a very strict spiritual practice, to bring it much more open so that, if I may say so, a kind of lay people who didn't belong to certain institutions in Japan also could benefit from these spiritual practices. Mm. And so what Miko Usui did, he utilized certain elements he was practicing himself and said, okay, I like that, and if I stick that here, then that will happen. I like this, if I stick that there, that will happen. And in that format, he created the system of Reiki. So a lot of the tools within the system of Reiki come from different spiritual practices he was practicing himself, like, for example, Shintoism or Shugendo, esoteric Japanese spiritual practices. And all he did was kind of taking different elements from these methods and combine them in a certain way that he felt would be very beneficial for everybody to realize this inner spiritual light within him or herself. And what is very interesting to see that from that it has spread through the whole world. I mean, we know Reiki practitioners in India, and by practitioners, I don't mean necessarily that they have to perform hands-on healing, but also just for the spiritual development in India, in South America, in Europe. You know, sometimes we get emails from people from countries what you almost have never heard of, and you go like, wow, this is exciting. Mm-hmm. And so I think why this happened is not only twofold, but maybe multifold. That is because the founder of the system of Reiki, he took some of these elements from existing spiritual practices. So it means these practices have a very old cultural, but also energetic heritage. They have been practicing certain spiritual practices in Japan maybe for hundreds of years, or maybe even since the 7th century. And some practices he created, and so it's kind of a mix of different things what he felt suitable. So when we practice these techniques, we tap in something quite ancient in a way, and this ancientness is really our true nature, this beautiful bright light. But also he, and I think the Japanese have such a knack to it, is create something very simple. So the system of Reiki is very simple, yet it's very profound. It cuts almost straight through all the rubbish and goes straight to the core. Mm. And I think that's why it has become so well known through the whole world.
Mm-hmm. And what are the levels of Reiki?
There's three levels of the system of Reiki, and the first level in Japan is called Shodan, what means beginner's teachings or beginner's level. And then the second level is called Okuden, what means inner or hidden teachings. And what is interesting when we look at this particular name, inner or hidden teachings, what it stands for, it's to find what is hidden inside of yourself. So all the tools what you learn within that level are really for your own spiritual development, to find what is hidden within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start to get glimpses of that, then you can move kind of to the mystery teachings, what is Shimpuden in Japanese, what is level 3. And Shimpuden, as it says already, the mystery teachings is really the mysteries of life, is the mystery of how you relate to the universe and the universe relates to you.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, nowadays it's been taught in a 2-day class or a 3-day class or a 1-day class. But ultimately, the system of Reiki is a lifelong practice. The classes itself is like the beginning, and then you go home, and with guidance of the teacher, you go deeper and deeper within your practice.
Thank you. That I think that's helpful, because there seem to be varied levels, but you come from or teach a more traditional approach. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. We start to do a lot of research within the system of Reiki. We've been to Japan. We looked at the founder of Reiki, but we also looked at his students who has written some books. Then we looked at the influences he might have had. So what happened in that period in Japan, there were actually lots of healers, lots of people teaching spiritual practices due to the opening of Japan to the Western world. Japan had been closed for 200 years. And so we looked at all these different elements, and that's why we now teach very much like the system of Reiki from a Japanese perspective. And I think that makes it also having a much more solid foundation that people can actually realize, oh, these teachings come from this. Oh, this comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this was practiced also in this way. This is interesting. So it's not something what is, you know, just suddenly created by someone, but it actually has a very solid foundation. And I think if we look at this yoga or Tai Chi or Qigong or maybe Buddhism or Christianity or lots of these spiritual practices, they all have a very solid foundation. And I think that's why they're still around.
Mm-hmm.
And so by connecting to the roots of the system of Reiki, I think we can really deepen our spiritual practice. And I think also that's when the system of Reiki will have a long-lasting effect on the practitioner, but also the practitioner's surroundings and community.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important to underline, too. So it is a Japanese system, traditionally. It's Japanese, because I've heard of everything from Reiki coming from the earth to Reiki coming from, and I guess, you know, in essence, it would, like, if we're looking at life force energy, then, and if we are that, then theoretically, then the earth would be a part of that. And yet, as a system, it is Japanese in origin and not necessarily from Atlantis, for example, which is another story that I've heard too. So maybe you could speak to what is non-traditional, or what is, you know, you did tell me what was more traditional, or how that originated. But where do you suppose all of the rest of this came from?
Well, I think that when it came to the West, it was kept under quite a strict control of one particular woman, and Hawaii Takata, and she died in 1980. After she died, there didn't seem to be a lot of infrastructure left behind. She had taught different teachers, but she did teach, it appears, each person in her own way and quite individually. So with the lack of infrastructure and the popularity of the New Age movement, for example, I think that the system of Reiki got a little lost for a while and was really drawn up into all different sorts of practices. And people who perhaps didn't have a very solid grounding in the system looked for ways of trying to understand it through perhaps other practices that they'd done.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only really in the late 90s, and we tried to help clarify that with the book, the Reiki Source Book, which mm-hmm. came out at the end of 2003, beginning 2004. So, you know, that really, what we tried to do in that book was look at all the different stories, you know, that you've mentioned here, and there's lots more as well, and try to connect people to where those ideas have come from. And then to help people to understand, you know, what it is that they might have studied somewhere and why they studied that particular exercise or where that thought strain came from. And then we also tried to help people to see where practically and technically the actual system would have come from within the Japanese culture. So, you know, it's been a really interesting time for the system, and as we said, you know, for it to really continue to flourish, then we, you know, personally we feel that it is a wonderful thing to have that solid grounding in its Japanese roots and to really know what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think also, Nina, one other aspect why I think also people started to change it and and add other things to it is very much that when the system of Reiki first came to the West, it was very much focused on hands-on healing. So it was very external.
Mm.
And if I only practice externally, there will always be a hunkering for something internally to discover my own inner happiness. And if I can't discover that within the system how I have been taught, then I might start to add other things to it,
mm-hmm.
what I might have learned over time. And so maybe a teacher had learned a specific meditation or a practice and said, oh, I really felt some benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me add that to the system of Reiki. And so over time, I think a lot of people felt they were kind of lost. And by bringing it back more to that it is actually a spiritual practice and that we don't have to add anything to the system of Reiki, the way the founder presented it is already there. It's complete in its unique way, but we have to see that. And in the beginning, I don't think everybody was taught how to see that within the system of Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And by looking at the historical aspect and the cultural aspect and the heritage of where some of these practices come from, we can clearly see that it used to be a spiritual practice for inner happiness and that the hands-on healing was a side effect of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've worked with many teachers now over the years. We've been teaching in the States and Europe and Canada and wherever, Australia, we found that a lot of existing teachers come into our classes and then they suddenly see or feel, oh, this is what it is. Now I can feel it really within myself. Now I realize it's a spiritual practice. Now I also realize I don't have to add anything to it. It's perfect the way it is. And I think that's why things started to change.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've mentioned again and again that it is a spiritual practice, but would you call it a religion?
I wouldn't really call it a religion because there is no need for praying to someone or it's very much finding what is hidden within yourself already. It's your own inner happiness or it is beautiful, bright light,
mm-hmm.
and we all have it. We only have to rediscover it. And I think the system of Reiki and the practitioner or the teacher are there to help you to rediscover it. But you still have to do it yourself. The saying is, you know, you can take a horse to the water, but you can't make a drink. it really is the same in the system of Reiki. We can teach a person a meditation or the precepts or the hands-on healing or the symbols and the mantras or the attunement, but they still are responsible for their own journey and for finding their own inner happiness.
Mm-hmm. Well, considering that it's an energy, I think some people might might not be quite as in touch with themselves to be able to feel that. Would you be able to guide the listener in an exercise to begin to try and feel that for themselves?
Yeah. One of the most important things is to remember that feeling the energy itself, like maybe some people feel tingling or heat or pulsation, is not really essential. And what is very essential in the system of Reiki is actually looking at the precepts. And for example, the precepts are do not anger, do not worry, be humble, be honest in your work, show compassion to yourself and others. So by practicing these five elements of the system of Reiki, hopefully we start to feel that we have less anger, less worry, less fear, being more honest, having more compassion for ourselves and others. This is really the outcome in reality of the system of Reiki. The tingling and the heat and maybe having visions or see colors or auras or what people want to maybe see are merely a side effect.
Okay.
But so the meditation I'm going to guide people through is helping them to feel more grounded. And by feeling more grounded, we might start to actually feel some energy, yes, but it also helps us to feel less worried, less angry. And I think particularly in our society where we're living today, that is really important. That is much more so important than feeling or sensing the energy. Actually, Bronwyn recorded a lovely CD quite some years ago through Sounds Through called Reiki Meditation CD. And it's a double CD what really goes through a lot of kind of what we've been talking about, but also includes lots of self-practice for self-discovery and finding that inner light for yourself. And it's suitable for existing Reiki practitioners and teachers, but also for people who are completely new to the system.
Mm-hmm. Can they find that on your website?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's actually being put out by Sounds True, who do, you know, Deepak Chopra and all the other wonderful people out there. So, yeah, it's a beautiful CD, and it was put out in 2008. So it's definitely there. You can get it if you go to our website or to the Sounds True website, you'll be able to get it there.
Okay, fantastic. That's great. Thank you for the resource.
Okay, so let me guide everybody through a little meditation. So what I'd like you to do is just sit on your chair or on the floor in a comfortable position. And first take a couple of really deep breaths and expel it quite forcefully. So you breathe in, a deep breath, and out. You get all that stale air out of your system. Now, after these couple of deep breaths, place your hands on your lap, palms facing upwards. We're going to work in this little meditation with an energy center called the Hara. And the Hara is just below your belly button. It's your center. It's your groundedness, your foundation. Now, on the in-breath, I like you to feel or imagine a beautiful bright light coming into your nose, and you bring that beautiful bright light all the way down to the Hara, just below your belly button. And with your mind, you follow this light all the way down, and feel that connection to the Hara. Feel your groundedness, your solidness, your foundation, your safety. Very gently breathe out, but keep your awareness on the Hara. And on the in-breath, we breathe in again, and we visualize again this beautiful bright light, the energy, and bring it down to the Hara again. Now keep our mind on this spot just below your belly button. And whenever you feel it's time to breathe out, very gently breathe out again. And again, we're breathing in this beautiful bright light through our nose, going all the way down through the chest, the abdomen, all the way down to the hara. Keep our mind there, keep that light there, and then very gently breathe out. And just keep following this pattern for as long as you wish. When you feel ready, place your hands physically on the hara and sit in that space with your hands physically on the hara for a few moments, feeling that connection with your hands, with the energy, with your physical body, with yourself. And then very slowly, bring your awareness back to the surroundings. Take your time, and then when you feel ready, you continue your day in this grounded, centered space. And if you feel during the day worry coming up, or fear, or you feel ungrounded or unsettled, remember that you always have your breath with you and you always have your hands with you. So take in a deep breath when you feel these worries and fears coming up and bring your energy and your breath and your mind down to the hara just below your belly button to center yourself again. This practice can be done anywhere and anytime. I hope this practice might be useful in your daily life so that you feel more centered and grounded. And then, of course, finding that inner happiness within yourself so that you can share it in your community.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Franz.
You're welcome, Nina.
I feel so calm now. That is just so beautiful. Well, I'm not sure what to ask now.
Nina, would you like me to tell a little bit about the enhancing the three diamonds?
Yes, course? Actually, that would be, what are the three diamonds?
Okay. The three diamonds are the three major energy centers that the Japanese utilize when they're practicing energetic practices. So many people know, for example, of the Indian energetic system, which is the chakras, and a lot of people have incorporated chakras into the system of Reiki, for example. But if we're doing a Japanese practice, we actually work with the Japanese energetic system, and that's the three diamonds. So the three diamonds are the hara, which you've just worked with now. So working with the first one is really that grounding sense and working with that area of the body and really working through that. In the second level of the system of Reiki, Okiden, we do a lot of work with these three diamonds. And the first place that we come to is always the hara. So grounding through that energetic center. We find this really important before we move up into our head space. So moving up into the head, which is then the second diamond. And I know that a lot of people, Franz spoke before about, you know, love the sensations of working energetically, and, you know, that might include intuitive work and I guess, psychic work, you know, that people are really working in that headspace. And to really successfully work in that headspace, we need to first have that grounding of the hara, and that's why we always begin there first. Mm. And we move up into the head, and we work with calming that and expanding that. And then we move from that space down into the third diamond, which is at the center of our beings in our heart. So we have these three spaces and these three energetic diamonds. And it's the bringing together of the earth, which is the hara, and the heavens, which is our heads, into the middle. And that's where our hearts are. And bringing together these extremes and balancing them together at the heart and helping us to feel complete and whole. And in many ways, we're a microcosm of the universe, which is the earth and the heavens coming together with us as humans in the center of that, which is very much how Japanese cosmology sees humankind, as that center point. And so when we teach the Enhancing the Three Diamonds, our online course, then we take you through each of those energetic spaces and work through that to a complete sense of wholeness at the end.
That's absolutely wonderful. So that's an online course that you have.
Yeah, and we're actually, people who've listened to our the recording today will actually get a free copy of that if they put a special voucher code into the website when they go to buy it. And that voucher code, I'll just tell you now, is DIAMOND5. That's lowercase, DIAMOND5. And it's number 5, not the word, but the number.
Thank you so very much. And so we had talked about this a little bit before. The webpage that people can go to is budurl.com/online-diamond. That's budurl.com/online-diamond. And that is just with the special coupon code or voucher code DIAMOND5 with the number all lowercase. So I really urge the listener to go and take advantage of this, because it is such a gift. That meditation was absolutely powerful. Like it really shifted the way I felt, and I can only imagine what your program in Enhancing the Three Diamonds will help, what it will do for people, how it will help them. So thank you so much.
Yes. Well, there's definitely a strong meditation element to that, and people can listen to the recordings and put them on their iPods and take it with them and things like that. So it's a lovely thing for them to have with them. There's one other thing that I just wanted to mention before we finish, if that's okay. We started up at the beginning of last year an association for Reiki practitioners who wanted to work from a Japanese perspective. Mm-hmm. And with the idea of creating a home for them to be able to connect with other like-minded practitioners. And it's called the Shibumi International Reiki Association. And the word Shibumi has got a lot of different meanings. It's a Japanese word, but it means simple, beautiful, with integrity. And these are all the things that we would love to see the system of Reiki experienced as. And so if there's any Reiki practitioners out there who like to work from a Japanese perspective, then you're more than welcome to join the association. It's a non-profit association, and we work towards researching the system of Reiki from a scientific and historic perspective through it. So that's what we are supporting as well. And the website is shibumireiki.org. And Shibumi is Shibumi, Reiki.org.
That's fantastic. And what is your website?
Ours is reiki.net reiki.au.
That I think is going to be a fantastic resource. That was one of the first things that I noticed when I began to research what it is that you do, is your website just blew me away. Like, it is rich and full of resources. And so I'd urge the listener just to go in, sign up for their mailing list, and stay on top of what it is that Franz and Bronwyn are doing, because this isn't just a lark for you. Like, this really is, it feels to me and it looks to me like this is a lifelong dedication and a real, I feel like the words that I use to describe it are almost minimizing it. Like, it's not a tool. Like, I mean, this is a personal practice. This is a rich exploration. This is just so much more than a hobby. You know, this. So, anyways, go to reiki.net.au and find out more. You do actually teach internationally as well. So, where do you go?
All over the world, actually. We will be teaching in southern Spain in September. Mm. And we were also hosting a Reiki retreat there for 4 days. And then after that, we will be going to the UK, to the Cotswolds, where we'll be teaching a Shimpeten class. There I will be teaching in New York. Also a Shimpeten class, but also an open day for all Reiki 1, 2, and 3s, no matter where they're from. And I do some evening talks in New York. And then after that, I will be off to Santa Cruz in California. And next year, we'll be teaching in Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Cincinnati, Chicago. We'll be teaching in the UK again, in Paris, in France, and, of course, not to forget, in Australia. And so, yeah, we're pretty busy, actually.
And how does that work? Like, if somebody wanted to bring you in, do they just contact you? Or if they were looking at trying to schedule, because you do travel, but can people request for you to come to them?
Yeah, absolutely. People request when we come to them. Absolutely. So they just contact us through our website, and then we look at, you know, who's the person, et cetera, and see if it's all good to go to those places.
Mm-hmm. Well, sounds like you're everywhere.
Yeah, we're pretty.
So, you know, and I've done Reiki training, and yet, you know, honestly, if you're anywhere near Calgary, Alberta, then I'm going to sign up. So if you've taken Reiki, you can actually take it again. Is that true too?
Yeah, I mean, the majority of the classes, for example, in the United States, about probably 80% are existing Reiki practitioners and Reiki teachers. So we get a lot of existing Reiki teachers who want to deepen their skills, want to go deeper in their own spiritual journey so they can be a better teacher. And it's very fascinating to see. So, it's a wonderful journey.
It has been an absolute pleasure having you here on the call and having you share with the listener. It is, with deep appreciation, I am so grateful to be able to feature your work. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Nina, for inviting us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you, listener, for joining us. And so if you want more information, I encourage you to look up Franz and Bronwyn at reiki.net.au. And, of course, I will send a follow-up email with the website for their special offer as well and any further details that you might need. So stay tuned. And thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.